Hello and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. We have a bit of a twist this week. It's hosted by myself, Lee Curtin, as our resident Noel Valbon is away in South America somewhere, taking in the delights of the sunshine, shall we say. I'm joined this week by Big Don. How are you, Don?
How are you doing? I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, all good, all good. And our own very resident DJ, John Jones. How you doing, John?
Is that it? Yeah, good, man. Happy New Year, mate.
And to you, and to you. So, the thing I love most is Tottenham Hotspurs. However, the thing that frustrates us most also seems to be Tottenham Hotspurs. So, after the positive second half against Brighton, I thought was a quite inspired fight back and got us 3 points on the board. We go to Norwich looking to add to that. And lo and behold, we get that first half disappointment again. What was your initial thoughts on the? I mean, let's start with the lineup, because the lineup seemed to it seemed to get a lot of people up on the edge of their seat. There was a lot of people quite happy with the lineup and the formation. So, what was your first thoughts on that, then, Don?
On the lineup, I was very excited. Going into the game, I wasn't too sure how we were going to set up because historically Mourinho doesn't play like a back three. So the lineup suggested to me that we were playing a back three, both joining the two centre backs, Sessegnon playing as left wing back and Aurier playing at right. I was excited for two reasons because I thought, well, less defensive responsibility for Aurier. Maybe he's going to get further up the field and we've got an additional centre-back. So excitement was there. Additional excitement from Ndombele starting the game. Well, that was good. And also, you know, this is the first time, I think, that all three of our summer signings have started in the starting 11. So loads of excitement going in. And I thought for the first 10, 20 minutes, we were brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, we had chances, didn't we? A couple of decent chances.
First 20 minutes, we looked like we were going up the gears, and it looked like it would be, you know, a goal fest in my eyes. But yeah, that didn't change. But you know, that's my initial thoughts on the lineup. I don't really think that he did anything wrong. I think the changes that Jose put into the team were great. We had it seemed as if we were at the start of the game using Aurier more as an outlet than Sessegnon. He didn't seem to be getting the ball as much as him. In general, I was pretty pleased. I think, and it sounds quite harsh. I mean, we were obviously on a WhatsApp group, and during the game, emotions are flying high. But I was quite slightly disappointed, shall I say, with the changes at half-time. I knew that they had to be done, but I was slightly disappointed that the players that came in, especially Foyth in this case, didn't use the opportunity to really impress Jose.
Yeah. So, I mean, on the players that came in, John, what was your thoughts? I mean, Foyth there, obviously responsible for an absolute howler. But, I mean, just looking at social media outlets across Facebook as well and all the various Spurs pages, there's a lot of people that were happy to see Foyth included. I mean, what's your thoughts on?
Yeah, I think it was Christmas for a lot of people, you know. I mean, I think no matter what 11, whether it be Pochettino, whether it be Jose Mourinho, whatever 11 they put out, there's always an amount of people that are going to say, no, he should be getting a chance, or no, he should be getting a chance. So all I've heard for the last, well, since Mourinho's come in, is these new boys, they need a go. They need to go from the start. And they need to be able to prove what they're worth. And I'll be honest with you, apart from, for me, in Ndombele, I don't think any other boys took it. I don't think they stepped up when they had their chance. And I know it's not always as easy as that, because to come in, especially at that level, to come in and just hit the ground running, if you've been a fringe player or if you've come back from an injury, it isn't just so easy to pick. But at the same point of time, you know, we're seen as a top four team. So we've got to have a good and a big squad. And that's what it's about these days. So I think if you get your chance, you're going to have to do something with it. And for me, I just thought it was very, very pedestrian first half. I thought a lot of players, it just seemed like there was a lack of intensity, a lack of desire to really get amongst it and make something happen. Just sort of going through the motions and expecting it to happen. And that can't happen because this league will bite you in the arse every single time. You know, whether it be Norwich, whether it be Sheffield United, whoever. You've got to get out and you've got to get at it. And we have done that previously against the likes of, say, Burnley or we started really well against West Ham, you know, and then it's kind of like the other way around, you know. But whereas in the last few games, it seems like we're starting slowly and then finishing strongly. So the players are going to have a look at themselves and start trying to marry up two halves, a 90-minute performance, you know.
Yeah, I think looking at it and definitely at the end of the game, the biggest disappointment was in a couple of these boys, their performances and the fact that we're struggling to put two halves together. And especially the way we're starting a game. We just seem to be on the back foot every match we seem to start. As you're well aware, my mate Serge started again. And as Don alluded to there, he seemed to be used as an outlet to go forward. And it seems to be something that Jose seems to think that is his strength. And I don't see it. I don't know what you boys feel. I just don't see it. I mean, I thought if you play that formation, that we was better off leaving Mora in there and having Mora on that right back because actually Mora would have got back quicker than him. And you got more chance of him putting in a half decent cross. And I've heard certain Spurs fans say, you know, he delivers a good ball. And I really do think that a lot of them are blinded by a goal that was disallowed because he struck the ball superbly. I think maybe against Leicester. The goal that he scored, again, because he struck the ball superbly. But in terms of actually delivering a cross, he's very hit and miss. He's probably more 20% than 80% of anything he delivers into the box. And when we went to a flat four at the back, he got exposed again defensively, which is his main trade. And he's become a real problem. So I just wanted to pick up there because, Don, you touched on it. We had Sessegnon, who's probably one of the quickest players in that team, I reckon, actually very used to getting down the wing and putting crosses in. And we didn't really use him. We seemed to look to go to Serge all the time for some reason.
As I said, in the first 20 minutes, looking at that left side, I was really happy having Vertonghen almost behind Sessegnon. So, you know, let him go. Just go, keep going up that field. But it didn't materialise. But I know we are going to look at individual players, Aurier and Foyth being one of them, you know, the two culprits at hand. But I, on reflection, the team itself, what really annoyed me against Norwich, you know, as a collective, we didn't do enough. And it wasn't just those. I think we could have let those two goals in and we should have scored three more goals. It should have been 5-2. The amount of chances that we had, and, you know, some of them were just quite easy. The Kane layoff to Ali, I think, in the first half. As soon as he walked up to that ball, strolled up to it, I knew something wasn't right, the way he was just shaped. But, you know, that's an easy chance. That's easier than the goal that he scored against Brighton. So we obviously have to analyse that. But, no, the forward players against Norwich just didn't do enough. You know, Kane, very clever by him, you know, winning the penalty, scoring the penalty. But he should have done more in that game, I think, from open play. He should have been able to score at least one of the chances that were presented to him.
Yeah, I'm looking at
the shots on target. We had 7 shots on target, 15 shots in total. You know, I just don't think we were clinical enough.
No, we're not. And that is a problem. But there was one point in that game where Kane was probably about 30 yards away from our own goal in the kind of right back, right midfield position. So something's not right behind him, is it? because
I've got to agree with you, Lee. I mean, fair point, doing, you know, Don, about him not about not conceding his chances. But I was impressed with. I thought Kane had a great game. I thought he put in a shift. I thought he was everywhere. He was trying to make things happen, and probably, as Lee's just said, detriment to himself. So, a bit like what Rooney used to do. Ended up in the wrong positions because you're trying to cover every blade of grass, you know.
That was a carryover from the second half of Brighton. Him and Moura running around, literally on the halfway line, trying to win the ball back and then give it to someone to get themselves back in the box so they could set up a chance. So it is a problem. It is a problem.
Definitely a problem.
Well, I mean, it's disappointing. I think we probably reluctantly take the point away and, you know, look at it as I'd be grateful we didn't lose. And then I guess when we look back at the rest of the weekend, the majority of the results went our way, I would say. It'd be nice for the two scum across the road and down the road to probably just nail a draw. But that banter club couldn't even manage that, could they? So chucking it away.
Just touching back on what you were saying though, Lee, about Aurier. I mean, it's easy to, you know, beat him with a stick, do you know what I mean? Because everyone's on it. But it is true. And I said it a few weeks ago. To win a game, we're going to have to score two goals. Two goals to win a game. One goal ain't going to win a game. We're going to have to score two. Because he's got a ricket in him every single game. Whether it be a mistake on the ball, whether it more so his awful positioning, or him just trotting back, because they are getting down that left hand side for fun. Every single team, and you can't do that at this level.
I agree with you there, but then I mean, look, you know that I'm slightly different. I see things from a slightly different angle. Noel say that anyway, but do you not think that Aurier hasn't got that much protection on the right side of the midfield? I'm just putting it out there because I feel as if, you know, if Lamella was playing on the right, you know, in our traditional sort of Pochettino 4-2-3-1, and Lamella was playing, he kind of protects the fullback. The fullback didn't, not saying that had much to do, but he was always nipping away at that side. So do you feel that he's just out? Because I honestly, I look at it sometimes and think that he's not got as much protection. He's kind of just left there sometimes. If Sissoko's not on the field to kind of help him out, then there's nobody. They kind of just let him have his one-on-one battles.
I take that on board, Don. I get it. And, well, I do hammer him because I just get a bee in my bonnet about certain things. And it's not always what they do. Sometimes it's about what they're not doing. And the biggest problem for me is, one, his positioning. It has a knock-on effect on the other players around him. So when somebody like Sanchez is then getting caught for it, Sanchez's positioning isn't great as it is. So the last thing you want Sanchez doing is covering somebody like Serge.
He's stuck in no man's land all the time.
So we've got two players on the right side of the pitch just looking at it going, to me, to you, to me. Oh, don't worry about it. Right? That's kind of what happens. But, you know, take the Norwich game, for example. There's one point. You've got three at the back. You've got Ndombele running across the middle. Aurier gets the ball. And you want him to go down the outside, swing across him. Because that was his job on that game against Norwich. Get down the wing, chuck across him. He ran into the middle of the park, straight into one of their players, Foyth style. And this is after Foyth had done it, by the way. So just show you how thick he actually is. Run straight into one of their players, lost the ball, who then proceeds to cross the ball onto Pukki's chest in 2-0, but VAR come and saved us. Right? Aurier gave that ball away 20 yards inside your position's half. And if you're playing four at the back, he's got to be the right back. So he's got to be one of the four. And he's a problem defensively. You've seen that in the second half. If you're playing three and you've got five across the middle, his positioning and his decision making isn't good enough, and he's going to be exposed. So he can't be that. He can't be that wing back. He can't be that wing back because people are going to target him. And my last problem with him is: does he just not look like he's always jogging to you? I mean, he doesn't bust the ball to get back.
You know, I play devil's advocate, but I'm on the flip side, he's guilty of just jogging back. He's guilty at the beginning of the season saying that, you know, he was going to leave Tottenham. So you question his desire, really. Does he really? He seems like one of those players that he can take it or leave it. Is his desire to play for Spurs or not? I don't really know. But it's definitely something that Jose has to address in the next window. We can't continue like this for the rest of the season. And if you're not going to play Boyfoot right back, then we don't really have anything else. We've got nothing else.
Yeah, well, it comes down to what did Kyle Walker-Peters do to Mr. Levy, Mr. Mourinho, and Mr. Pochettino?
I know that you're going to go on about him, but then is it... I don't know. I look at Kyle Walker-Peters and think there's been the odd game here and there, but I don't think he's built to play, like, have a run in the team. I don't think he's that kind of player. Put it this way. I think that he would have needed to go out on loan and establish himself like Danny Rose did at Sunderland, that kind of thing, and then come back to Tottenham.
It's crazy though, Don. Like, they haven't sent him out anywhere though. Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Pochettino thing, isn't it? That he wanted, you know, the likes of Skip. He wanted those players around. So I'm sure that the opportunity to go out on loan was probably there. Definitely for Kyle Walker-Peters, but we just probably haven't, you know, triggered a loan.
Well, it seems to me in football terms, and if you sat in dressing rooms and stuff and somebody's getting a run in a team and they're having a bit of a shocker, but you don't get a run in a team, you don't get a look in and you're in the same position, it seems a little bit unfair. And that's why I tub thump for Kyle Walker-Peters, because they're prepared to let Aurier have a run, and he's had an absolute shocking run, in my opinion. And they're prepared to let Foyth have a go. And I'm not one... Actually, I don't get excited about Foyth. I'm not one of these Foyth fans. What I've seen of Foyth isn't enough to convince me that he's the answer to anything except for maybe positional cover for Dyer. And if he's going to run into players and give the ball away, then he's probably not even that either. So he doesn't have the speed either for me. So I think it's unfair that Walker-Peters hasn't been given three games back-to-back like some of these other players.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I can agree with that. It's definitely not fair. But at the same time, we've seen when he has played, he has made mistakes as well. Can't deny that he let one in against Barcelona. I'm not saying that's like Barcelona, so we move on. But there has been occasions where he hasn't.
That's the one, though, Don, isn't it? That's the one, though, isn't it? He's made a mistake and he seems to get punished for it every time. Yeah, he gets dropped in for one game in about 10 out of the blue, makes a mistake, which is understandable, I think, as anyone who's played the game, and he gets punished. But Aurier can do what he every week.
I equally agree with you that the game against Norwich, I mean, that's perfect for Kyle Walker-Peters, isn't it? Like, if you'd seen him in the lineup, I think I would have been truly excited if that would have been, you know...
In a five.
In the five, you would have gone, like, absolutely. Here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we could rumble on about this right side of defence and right side of our pitch, but although we haven't unwrapped our presents yet, we'll see what Santa's left us on January the 1st. And please, God, let it be a right back. Before we come up to our upcoming game against Southampton, due to management changes, we kind of skipped past our little trip to Brighton's trip to the lane, where we run out 2-1 winners. Again, a bit like the Norwich game. It seemed to be a game of two halves, and we're lucky. I thought we were quite lucky in the end to run away with those 3 points. What was your thoughts on it? Don, you watched the game with us. What was your thoughts on that game as you cast your mind back?
For against Brighton, I thought that it kind of picks off from the Norwich game. I think that it was a lot. We're still pursuing this full 90-minute performance. And Brighton are a very decent side, but I felt that the changes that we needed to make in during the game helped us to win the game. Our starting 11 just didn't really seem to get going, but if it wasn't for Kane, I think, and Lucas Moura's second half performance, you know, those two kind of galvanised the team. Kane busted a gut against Brighton to the point where he couldn't, you know, he could barely walk after at the end of the 90 minutes. So I think we're just getting saved. It doesn't feel to me like we're in. It seems two steps, you know, one step forward, two steps back with us at the moment. As a collective, we're not getting going. It seems like individual performances are costing Spurs, and at the same time, individual performances are saving us.
I fully agree with that. I fully agree with that. And one of the things that, you know, I want to pick up on that is the ridiculous yellow cards that we picked up on that day as well. You know, when we talk about players not being the brightest and their decision making, I thought Sissoko and Winks both picked up stupid yellow cards that probably went on to cost us against Norwich.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what your view on it was. I mean, I think everyone wanted, it was good to see Winksy back, but actually, I didn't think it was a game for him, and he seemed to struggle. He looked like he was a yard off the pace.
Yeah, completely agree with that. I think silly bookings for both Sissoko and Winks. Winks annoyed me because he kind of tried to argue with the ref afterwards. It was pathetic at the time. I thought, you know, you kind of cost yourself really a run in the team where, you know, I think a player like Winks desperately needs at least two games to get going. So definitely a lackluster, as our other Lee would say, a lackluster performance, I felt, from Winks. I thought that the Colombian midfielder that Brighton had caused us quite a few problems in the first half.
Galetto?
I can't remember what his name was. Alzate, I think. Alzate.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he caused us a few problems in the first half. I'm gonna just flip this for a little while, but I think we haven't touched on it on the Norwich game, but we didn't mention it. But VAR in this case against Brighton, you know, we missed out on the goal. But I think it seems to me that it's a continuous problem with our team, or with all teams. When you score a goal, which you kind of feel it in you that it's a goal. So really, and then it goes back and then that gets chalked off. It does seem to have an effect on the teams that have scored the goal. And the teams that haven't, because it means, oh, we got away with that. Let's buck our ideas up. But it's not doing us any favours. As fans, I think it's quite frustrating being in the stadium. You know, as an armchair watcher for the Brighton game, again, it doesn't feel right. We didn't cover it off in the Norwich game, but just a quick word about Pukki. I think, you know, he'd be upset to have a goal chalked off, that, you know, his toenail was offside. And I think that Kane, I think against Brighton it was exactly the same. It felt that once we scored that goal, it seemed like there was a sense of relief that we could continue with the momentum. And then all of a sudden it gets chalked off. It just didn't seem right. It didn't seem to make the tee. It had a negative effect on the team.
I think VAR is definitely having an effect on most teams, actually. some friends about this earlier today, actually, and there's like a VAR table of teams that have benefited it from it and not benefited from it, actually. And Tottenham are kind of like not gained nothing or lost anything from it. We actually sit seventh in the VAR table, and we've not actually gained nothing from it in terms of points, or we haven't lost anything. So it's quite interesting, but I definitely I think if you play any sports and you get a little knockback, if you feel like you've got a goal behind, your head's ultimately drop. It's a natural human feeling. The same way if you score, you know, you're elated and you're up and you're buzzing. So yeah, I suppose when when you're up and you're buzzing and somebody just comes and takes it away from you. And it seems quite harsh. It's probably a bit of pill to swallow, but we're halfway through the season, so we probably just need to crack on with it now until they review it and have a look and decide, you know, what's best. Because Pookie's goal for me is onside all day, every day.
Yeah, madness. Absolute madness. You know, the same with the lad from Sheffield United. You know, his hand was offside. He gave the ball to hand being offside. What?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Go on, Dom.
I know. Going back to the Brighton game, I felt that it did apply a slight more pressure on us. But going back to what I said before, individual performances have saved us. And it was Dele Alli who came up trumps. I know it was an Aurier assist. We were obviously slagging him off. But, a moment of brilliance won us the game. Again, I felt it was a lot. It was very starty, stop-starty from us. But Ali, you know, he kind of showed his class through, and we got the 3 points.
Yeah. I thought a sublime finish, actually. Absolutely sublime finish from Ali. Vintage Ali.
That's the thing, though, boys, isn't it? As we sort of touched a bit on earlier, is the fact that I saw a thing yesterday. Since Mourinho has taken over, at the moment, we're sitting third in the form league. You know, in the last, how many games it is? Eight games. You know, we're third. But yet, we seem to just be making it hard for ourselves every single game. And it's our own doing. It's an enforced error. And we're having to find ways to beat teams even more so than what we would if we just went out there and just eradicated all the mistakes.
Yeah,
but yet there's still momentum there. We're still producing, but it's just taking. You can see it's just taking it out of them every game. It's like an emotional roller coaster for everybody every single game.
it definitely is an emotional roller coaster, mate. I agree. It's one of those where, like you said before, we look like we need to score two goals, you know, to get anything from a game, which is a bit bizarre. And I think something that Jose actually picked up on after the Norwich game, he's talking about literally having to score two goals away from home, and probably likelihood is that you're not going to get nothing from it, or you're going to nick a point. It's not good enough. And for a team going for Champions League, that's not good enough. We need more. We need more from the boys. They got to step up. I've got no problem with Serge sitting in at right back and putting the ball into Rosette. You know, I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with Foyth actually just hoying it up the pitch either, you know, but their mistakes are almost unforgivable. You know, if you've seen them on a Sunday morning, you know, I'd half expect you to be stood next to me and put your tracksuit top on. That's enough, mate. Sit down. Yeah. You know, you clearly get out.
I can't agree more, honestly. I mean, you look at, again, I know sort of. I know you was touching on the Brighton game, but if you go back to the Norwich game again, you know, you look at, say, for instance, Ericsson, your favourite player, Lee. but no, you know what?
Serge is my favourite player.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, you look at Ericsson, you know, like first half, again, for me personally, I thought he looked like he was playing within himself. You know, it was almost very Dyer-esque. It was, you know, 5 yard. Listen, I'm all for keeping the ball and keeping the ball moving, but there was nothing positive about what he was doing. You know, the ball wasn't going forward, or if it was going forward, he was mispassing it. And you think, and I was getting so frustrated with it. And it's not because I want to dig him out. It's because I know he's got more than that in the locker. A lot more than that. And then, funny enough, you know, he got his free kick, which, again, he's got that in the locker all day. But he got his goal, and then, all of a sudden, he was up. And all of a sudden, you're seeing, this is a Christian Eriksen from 2 years ago. And he's all about, you know.
I mean, yeah, it's frustrating watching him, which is why I just lose my the last bit of my hair. You know, the last... Serge turns it grey, and number 23 makes it drop out. And I just say, between them, I just can't cope. But I make you right. When you look at what he can deliver, what you look at what he has delivered over the years, you know, undoubtedly there's a problem there. Undoubtedly there's something going on behind the scenes that we can't get him to play like that week in and week out. But, at, you know, in the group, you can tell all the listeners in the group, we got a free kick. And I called it. I said he'll drop us a little present here, his leaving present. And he pops it over the wall and into the top corner. I just felt that he was going to do it, funnily enough. And then in the last minute, we got a corner. And I felt that he would hit the first man. And he did that, funnily enough. So that's number 23 in a nutshell. They're probably a very frustrating talent. But we, you know, wrapping that up, Kane and Ali and Mora. And a little cameo from Lachelle, so I thought were enough to get us past Brighton, and I thought, yeah, testament to them boys, they did very well, so fair play to them. So obviously we ran into Norwich, didn't start the way we finished against Brighton, took a draw away from there, and we now go into the first of the first, 2020, new year, new beginnings, and we've got Southampton. So they've just kind of hit a little bit of a decent run. So what are we thinking?
Mate, I'm good. If I could start, I'm not, I don't feel confident about that. Like you say, I've been watching them and they seem like they look really good at the moment.
John, let me stop you, Don. John, what are you thinking, mate? go on, Don. Finish off, mate.
Don.
Sorry. Right, look, I mean, I don't think, Ings looks like he's, you know, if they don't play Ings, I think we've got a chance, but they've hit a bit of form. I mean, the thing with Jose is he will address, you know, he's going to look at Southampton and he's going to do his homework on who to, you know, pay a special attention to. But I've got a feeling that our players, these two games every 48 or a game every 48 hours is going to take its toll. And I think it's going to be a draw.
Okay. So you're going straight in. You're going to give us a prediction then, Don?
Yeah, I'm going to go draw. I'm going to go. It's 1-1 to us.
1-1. Okay. Yeah. You already expect us to let him one.
Yeah, I think that. I think we will defend. I think, like you say, Southampton have hit a bit of form. The likes of Ings. I think, you know, if he plays, we could. Our defence at this point in time isn't at its best. Yeah. I think 48 hours, it's just, you know, I don't know. Did he play as, I mean, as you can tell us, did he play as have an opportunity to train, or is it just like, you know, tactics and then go into the games? I assume that's how it's got to be. Can't be
after Norwich
in between.
Yeah, you would do a warm down session, and then you would crack on. There's no rest. You'd have a warm down session the next day, and then you would start preparing. So you would have a full on session. You would have one full on session in preparation for the game. You'd have a tactical session, and yeah, it's full on, mate. Really, and that's probably why a lot of Premier League managers go, when the international ones anyway, because they can't believe, you know, how we just keep churning out the games, and you've got to call on, you know, various squad members. But there'll be one warm down session the game the day after. So when was Norwich actually? When was the date of that?
Boxing Day, wasn't it?
27th. 27th. 27th, yeah. So 28th would have been warm down. 29th would have been a lightish session, and then today they would have been full on, really, in preparation for. And tactics in preparation for the Southampton game. So tomorrow they'll do a light warm-up one again. And and then we're there.
I'd like to be proved wrong, but I just feel like we're not... The energy isn't there at this point in time for us. We're relying on individual performances. And when they run out, you know, you expect the collective to gain momentum. And I can't see it. So, you know, I think we'll go there and we'll get a point.
Okay, so it's a 1-1 from Positive Don. He wants to kick the new year off in style.
Of course.
JJ, what are we saying?
Yeah, I'm gonna be a bit more upbeat. I think we'll go there and we'll get something. I think Southampton, rightly so, they've hit a bit of form in the last few weeks. Danny Ings has done me well in my fantasy Premier League. I took a chance on him about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he's been banging them in. And actually, this week I've just sold him because I don't fancy him against us.
Brilliant.
And yeah, I think Southampton have had a good bit of form, but I think Southampton, they're going to do that. They're going to have a couple of games where they do play well, and they will pick up bits and pieces. But I think that those little runs will come to an end, and I think you'll see them at the bottom of the at the end of this season, scrapping it out with the rest of them. So I think the law of averages say if they've been picking up results for the last 4 or 5 games, then they're due a loss. On the other hand, for us, I think if every one of our players, pretty much no matter who they put out, if everyone performs, if we show a bit of desire from the get-go, we get out the traps early, which we do, I don't think we'll have a problem. I think we'll be better for them everywhere, pretty much everywhere on the pitch. I think it comes down to just being mentally aware of your job, what you're supposed to be doing. Concentrate, don't make mistakes. Quality will see us through. I'm going to go for, well, we have to score 2. I'd like to say 3. I think we'll concede. I'm going to go 3-1, 3-1 Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay. I'm going to, I think it's only right, really, isn't it? In Noel's absence, that somebody jumps on a 2-1. I want to be overly positive with you, John, but I'm going to jump on Noel's 2-1 for us. I just think we need to be aware of Danny Ings. He is their danger man. But I think more importantly, it comes down to team selection. It's about not giving away ridiculous free kicks in dangerous positions. I've got Ward-Prowse, who's deadly from a free kick.
He's quality.
He puts in a quality ball that gives players like Ings a chance. So I think I'd like to hope that Jose's work over the last couple of days is to be reminding players to eliminate the stupidity that they display in terms of free kicks and giving the ball away in certain areas. I hope we've done a bit of work on that. I suppose Sissoko comes back for me. And I would have brought Winks back, but I can't see him being sharp enough, to be honest with you. So it's Sissoko back in for me. I don't know what we do about this right back position, you know. And here's one for you. Does Eriksen start for you boys again?
Not for me. No, not for me. Not for me. I don't think you can trust him to get a tune out of him from the get go. Unfortunately, which it makes me sad to say that, but I just can't see it. Can't see it.
I can't agree more with you there, John. I think that for a player that's his desire is to leave, and we can see that you can almost see it. It could be a week. This could be his last game, so I wouldn't start him. I definitely wouldn't start him. Definitely not.
But then on the other note, though, I think if your man, if your Lo Celso gets a chance, or whoever comes in, they're going to have to do more from the beginning. And that's, I said in the group the other day, I could not believe when I went to the Chelsea game how easy it was for them to get out of their final third. From their own third, shall I say?
Yeah.
It was bang, 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 bang out. And but then they were pressing us, and we were getting pressured into mistakes. No time at all, and the difference was phenomenal. And I think Kane's been working hard, but I think Ali needs to step up his game again. I think it's all well and good, doing the nice flicky bits and what have you. You need more these days, I think. And the thing is, he's more than capable of it as well. More than capable of putting a shift.
It does look like he's got another gear in him sometimes. And I think that's what people find frustrating with him a little bit. Is that even that chance that Dom was talking about, he missing against Norwich. You just wanted him to run onto it and drive it.
But that's all he had to do.
He looked so laid back, you'd have thought he had one of Don's summer salads, wouldn't you? It's just the way he just casually up and over, but you wanted him to drive it, keep it low and drive through it. But his speed didn't change, his footwork didn't change, his body shape didn't change. So, yeah, I think sometimes you look at Dele and just go, look, just look like you're giving us just a touch more, because I think he's world class if he does that.
I mean, just on Lo Celso, how do you feel about his involvement in the last two games? He's been involved, hasn't he? So, are we any closer to knowing exactly what he is or what he can do, or if he can replace Eriksen?
I'll tell you what he does do. He keeps the ball well, and if he loses it, he tracks back and wins it back, mate. I like what I see from him in terms of him getting from box to box. And he has got a bit about him. I don't think, looking at from what I've seen so far, is he Eriksen's replacement? Probably not. But he has got an eye for a pass, and he works hard. And do you know what? That's enough for me at the moment, given some of the players around him.
I mean, I don't know for how far away Lamella is, but I think Lamella would be a good shout if he was fit to come in, because he'll give you that bit of hunger and a bit of desire. You know, it'll be a pain in the arse for defenders. You know, they don't like it, and that's one of the biggest things I think for us at the moment. We're just lacking that bit of intensity. Until we need to be intensive, you know? And then by then, you know, all of a sudden you're running uphill.
He was sub against Brighton and didn't come on. And obviously he came on against Norwich. So he must be getting closer. And the fine box must be really empty as well, because nobody's given away a ridiculous yellow for ages. So we're missing Lamella's yellows, aren't we? Let's face it.
Definitely.
Come on, kick someone, get a goal, get an assist. As long as he's booted someone and taken a yellow, everything's good. Everything's good in Lamella's world. All right, so we're going for a 1-1 from Big Don, 3-1 from JJ, and it's a 2-1 from me. I'm hoping that we kick off the new year in style, and we keep the pressure on the fourth spot. So yeah, good times. Okay, so it's been an interesting year for all Spurs fans. So, real quick, boys, what would you give us as a grade for 2019 as a team? And the highlight would be the Champions League final, I imagine. But you know, what any other highlights in there, or any other lowlights for you? I'll start with Don, because he's going to give us an A+.
Well, no, definitely not. Definitely not an A+. I think that, you know, grade in the decade, for me, it's a B+. The only thing that we were missing from this decade, well, at least in the last 6 years of football, was probably a trophy. We've entered the Champions League, so we've gone up a level. So, gone are the days where we're sort of in the Europa League. We definitely broke through, you know, the certain games that we were never going to win. Stamford Bridge, you know, winning at the Library, that kind of stuff there, winning at Old Trafford. All of this has happened in this decade. In this year, it's probably a C. No trophy, and the football's been, it feels like we're, our intensity is decreased in the last 12 months. But then, you know, the fact that there's the highlights of moving into our, you know, probably the best stadium in Europe, if not the world, the Champions League final, are key things. But I think the actual football, probably a C+.
Yeah. John?
Yeah, it's been a funny old year, isn't it? Because I think it just sums up Tottenham Hotspur. You know, you never know what you're going to get, do you? Let's be honest. You do not know what you're going to get from game to game, from year to year, you know. But then I will be positive. I know Levy and Enoch get a bit of a raw deal, but you know, like Don said, we're operating at a level above now. So, and like anything, you always want to improve. You want to improve, and you want to keep that consistency up. So, you know, we're a victim of our own success without winning anything, if that makes sense. We've set standards and levels now that we expect, you know, that we expect week in, week out. So that's not a bad thing. The problem is, obviously, is, you know, we've bought particularly well, or we've had players coming through the ranks that have done particularly well. So it's how long can you keep hold of them players before they feel the need to be moving on that level above, which would, you would say, you know, Man City, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, you know, those ones that, and they are operating at a level above us, if you want. It's a difficult one to juggle, you know. So this year's been disappointing, and I think the stats tell you that.
Yeah.
I think we've probably overbatted. We've probably punched quite a bit above our weight for some time. So you have to be realistic about it. I'm just hoping that, and I'm positive about it, because I think Mourinho was a good signing, because something needed to change there. I'm gutted about what happened with Poch. I'm a massive Poch fan, but there was something wrong, and it was probably the best thing for all parties involved. I think Mourinho was the next best option for me, and so far, whether people like it or not, he's doing a good job, because we're, you know, it might not be pretty, we might not be doing it in the way that we should be doing it, but we are getting the results.
Yeah.
So as long as that continues and we get better, then, you know, who's to say that 2020 isn't going to be our year?
Yeah, I agree. So what are you giving us out of that?
I thought I managed to swerve a definitive answer.
Nah, mate.
I'm going to give us a B minus. Yeah.
Wish he was my teacher at school. Jesus. I agree with both of you to certain points. I think we've definitely got to a level that we're at the moment, that we're probably a little bit ahead of our time. I think the Champions League probably propelled us to that as well. I guess my low light would be probably not building on that at the start of the season, which probably goes back to what you were talking about, John, in terms of Pochettino and something not quite being right. I mean, what a position to be in, you know, the top two teams in European football, you know, just even in a competition, not necessarily on paper, but in that actual competition, that's what we were. We were the second, you know, we were the second best team in club European football. And if we started the season well enough, you know, we could be looking at all sorts of players coming and joining us at a top draw stadium. So it's a shame. That's my low point there is I don't know we don't know what's gone wrong or what wasn't quite right, but it seems to be a shame for most, you know, for all parties that it didn't quite work out like that. And, you know, we couldn't keep certain players happy. We couldn't keep them playing at a certain level, and we couldn't keep a manager that we probably all grew to love. But ultimately, you know, you look at what Jose's done, and he is a job for, he's the man for the job right now. And that was to make sure that we stay as close to the top four as possible and give us a chance come April, May, to be able to go back and attract those players as well again. So, yeah, it's been a funny old season, you know, an amazing stadium, an amazing day out for all the Spurs fans that went to, you know, who went to watch the game live, the ones who went to the stadium to watch it, you know, probably beyond our wildest dreams for a lot of us. So, but you're right, Don. I make you right in terms of it's a shame that definitely over the last kind of 10 years, so we haven't got a trophy, a show for anything. You know, it's a bit of a downer, because we've seen some amazing football. We've seen some beautiful goals. We've seen some quality players. So it is a little bit of a shame. So, yeah, in summary, it's probably a C from me as well, to be honest. It's a C from me for the last year. But on a brighter note, and before we wrap up, the Tottenham ladies, who we haven't mentioned for a little while, they're in the WSL 1. They got promoted last year, and they're sitting seventh mid-table in the Women's Premier League, holding their own. So, you know, the club's not in the worst place. So, all good foundations. And yeah, I you know, big testament to everything that's going on there. The academy boys seem to be doing well. And just to chuck it out there before we finish, I know we had that little incident at Chelsea. You know, big props to the club for, you know, taking hold of the idiot, chucking cups and stuff on the pitch. You know, gone. Cheers. Thanks for your season ticket. Give it to somebody who's going to come and support your team properly. And great work in terms of them looking for, you know, the alleged racist accusations that were made. And for me, again, I'll just put it out here. I don't think it happened, to be honest with you. You know, I think maybe 40 heard something, but, you know, I back Tottenham, not just because they're my club. You look at the area we're from, you look at the surroundings, you look around you in the crowd, and, you know, we're so diverse. And I think as many fans would point somebody out and pull somebody out, you know, we don't mess around. And that's what I like. If you're going to do things, do them properly. And they seem to be going about it off the pitch and on the pitch the right way, and making the calls as they need to. So it's all good. It looks like it's all moving in the right direction. But in true Tottenham style, and as Don says, it's one step forward, two steps back. We're going to go and practice our hopscotch, and we'll be back in 2020. So yeah, onwards and upwards. So I guess from on behalf of the Thing I Love Most show and Noel, big shout out to Noel. Hope Mexico's treating you well. Don't forget to put a lime in your drink, mate. That keeps the flies away. keep the mask in your case, please. We want you to come back, not get arrested. So, yeah, on behalf of the Thing I Love Most show and everybody involved, we'd like to wish you a happy new year. And on to the 1st of Jan. 3 points on the board. Come on, you Spurs.